The following program is made possible by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. Thank you for changing the world.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about discipleship, and we're now into our fourth week of teaching on this, and I tell you, we have covered some powerful things. If you could get hold of the things that I've talked about over the last 4 weeks, and I mean implement this in your life, I guarantee you it would move you to a new level. I really believe that. I know that there's a lot of you who just watch this program, and sometimes you're even getting ready to go to work or you're distracted and doing other things and you don't even pay complete attention to the program. But even if you watched the program, if you were to get the materials that we're offering and sit down and just meditate on these things, it would do so much more. I encourage you to please go to the next step and get these materials and go through our discipleship materials and just try this and see if it doesn't make a huge difference in your life. I've been ministering from 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I spent basically all of last week and 2 days of this week dealing with one phrase, just one sentence in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." I hadn't even finished that sentence yet. I've been talking for 5 days on this. If you've missed any of this, you really need to get this, because this is something that most people do not practice today. They are victims instead of victors because they think that it's all of these external things and people that have made them bitter and hurt and defeated and things like this. And I've been teaching from these verses that you can't control what other people do, but you can totally control how you react to what other people do. That's what Paul is talking about when he says, "Don't let any man despise thy youth." You can't stop people from despising you, but you can stop that despising from getting on the inside of you and affecting you. How do you do it? He says, but be an example. And that's what I've talked about for the last couple of days, is to just stay on track, to keep doing what God told you to do. If you get off of the track and into the grandstands arguing with the spectators, even if you win the argument, you're going to lose the race. Stay on track. Boy, those are powerful truths. And now I want to talk about how do you be an example. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And here's the first thing, in word. And you know, I could spend literally, I'm sure, an entire broadcast on every single one of these things. I'm going to try and speed it up, but I need to mention a couple of things. That when it says in word, this is talking about the words that come out of your mouth. And the context of this is, don't let any man despise you. It's talking about an adverse situation where there's criticism, something coming against you, and you just keep on doing the right thing. And how do you give them this example? You need to control your words. You need to say wholesome words. You don't need to strike back at people when they strike at you. You don't need to say things that hurt people. And I tell you, this is so hard for people to do. James said this over in James chapter 3, that the tongue is an unruly evil that no man can tame. It is set on fire, and it is set on fire of hell. In the book of James, chapter 3, it talks about if you can control your tongue, you are a perfect man. That doesn't mean sinless. It means you're a complete man. You're a mature person. It takes some maturity to control your words, and most people aren't even giving it any effort. Most people use their words. I mean, it is unbelievable, the sarcastic, critical things. You know, we have a lot of, this program is heard all over the world, and some people may not be aware of this, but we have a lot of talk shows in the United States, conservative talk shows, and it's really important because we have such a liberal, biased media that they just aren't presenting the truth. And so in a sense, we have to have this conservative culture to be able to get the right take on things. And so there is a place for it. I'm not trying to criticize it. But many of these talk show hosts are so sarcastic. I think sarcasm is probably one of the most harsh ways of responding to things that you can possibly get. And even though I agree with a lot of the conservative views and that there is some good being done, the words that are spoken, the mean, hateful, terrible things that are said, it's just tough. You know what? I believe that they have a place, but I can guarantee you they wouldn't serve very well as a minister to talk and to do things the way that they do. The Bible says that our words should be seasoned with grace and with salt, and that it ought to be for the benefit and the edification of the hearers. And there's just so many times that people say these hateful, cutting things. So let me apply all this again back to our situation. If you are having somebody despise your youth, and it may not be your youth, they may despise your color, they may despise the gospel that you're preaching, they may despise your stance on morality, they may despise you because they don't like red hair, or, you know, all of the different prejudices that different people have. If somebody is despising you and you're just going to go ahead and be an example, well, how do you do that? The words that you speak has to be a part of this example. You cannot lash back at people with your tongue. Boy, that's important. And yet, I tell you, just like those verses I quoted out of James chapter 3, only a mature person can do this. This is why you've got to be discipled. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you're bitter, and if you're angry, and if you're hurt, and if you're upset, I guarantee you it's going to come out your mouth. And it's going to take some maturity for you to get over this and begin to start looking at things differently and get to where you can speak something positive to people that hate you. And I know that some of you right now are thinking, well, I don't even care to try. Well, then you're not a disciple. You aren't following the leading that's given in the Word of God. It's telling you that you are supposed to control your tongue. You aren't supposed to lash out at people. You know, I've got some nationally known ministers that have branded me as Jim Jones, said I'm the slickest cult that has ever come out. If I was to tell you their name, many of you would know them. I've had people do things against me like this, and yet I have never spoken evil of that person. I don't understand all the reasons, but I'm not mad at them. I have blessed them. I have sent them money when their church got in trouble. And I've sent them money after they said these things. They're a good minister. I honestly don't know exactly why they got so offended at me, but I'm not mad at them, and I have not sinned against them with my tongue. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying that, you know, it can be done. I have blessed this person. I have even held a convention where both of us were speakers, and we were invited, and I've spoken with them, and I treated them just as if nothing had ever happened. I didn't lash out with them with my tongue at them. And in that instance I'm talking about, they still haven't repented. But you know what? I've done this with dozens of other people who at one time were mad at me, and I just keep speaking well of them. And you know what? Eventually, it's like I was sharing on our programs earlier this week, that you just keep doing what God told you to do. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. And God has come in and defended me and put me back into relationships with some of the very people that have criticized me. And one of the reasons it's able to happen is because I didn't compound the situation by the words that I say. Boy, that's powerful. I believe that this is more powerful than what most people recognize. You know, we've got these old cliches about if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. All of us have heard that, but very few people observe it. But it really is true. You're hung by the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you can release death or life. You can either speak life into a situation or you can speak death. And the sad fact is most of us are retaliating with our tongue. And you're going to have to change this if you really want to keep other people, what they are saying and doing, from affecting you. The moment you get down to their level and you start criticizing them and fighting back, You know what? You have just opened up the door to all of this. And that anger and that stuff that they're saying against you, the criticism they're saying against you, it will come into you through your tongue. If you start speaking negative things, man, that opens up a door to the devil. It says in James chapter 3, verse 16, and again, I've quoted from that already twice today's program. The whole chapter is talking about words, controlling the words that you speak. And only a perfect man or a mature man is able to control his tongue. It's like a fire and it's set on fire of hell. In that context, talking about the tongue, it says in James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. It didn't say a lot of evil works, some evil works. You open up a door to anything the devil wants to do in your life when you get into strife. Now, people may be mad at you, but that doesn't mean that you have to be mad at them. You can say, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. Just because people are mad at you doesn't mean that you are in sin. Jesus had people mad at him. People crucified him. People constantly said, you are of Beelzebub, and they did all kinds of things, but Jesus didn't get mad at them. Jesus wasn't in sin. So don't think that just because somebody is mad at you that you have to be in strife. You can speak positive words, but if you don't, and if you do get into strife with them, you open up a door to every evil work, anything. And it's amazing how many people do not understand why they are in the mess that they're in. They have, like say for instance, financially things are falling apart and they've paid their tithes and they know that God wants them to prosper and they just can't understand why they're not prospering. They're sick and yet they know the scriptures that promise healing and they sit there and say, by His stripes I'm healed, and they're praying and they've had people lay hands on them and they just can't understand why they're sick. And they don't connect these dots that where envying and strife is. There is confusion and every evil work. You could say there is confusion and poverty. There is confusion and sickness. It just opens up a door to whatever the devil wants to do in your life. And many people just don't recognize that. They watch too much television, and in these sitcoms, everybody yells at each other and everybody gets angry. They go back to their childhood, and man, I mean, it was just typical that you just vented. They go to psychology today, and psychology will tell you that you're in denial if you suppress your feelings. You just need to let it all out. Curse the people. Say anything you want to. This is wisdom. No, it's demonic. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, and don't use your tongue to release death. Speak life. Recognize that if you get into strife with the words that you say, and if you go to retaliating with people, you have just flung the door wide open to the devil, not only for sickness, not only for poverty, but like in the context here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if they despise you, if they are critical of you, you know what? They're despising. Their criticism is going to get on the inside of you if you get down and start retaliating with your tongue. Whether or not you're talking to them, maybe you're just talking to a friend about them. That's not what the Scripture tells us to do. If you really have a problem, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told you to go to your brother and talk to him alone. And until you talk to him alone, then you don't take anybody else. You know, if we would just follow that instruction, it would stop all kinds of problems. You know, I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying it to enlighten you so that we can get over this, so that we can become disciples and begin to act like Christians instead of like carnal people who call themselves Christians. So I'm not saying this to hurt you, but brothers and sisters, there's people watching this program that I guarantee you when somebody criticizes you, when somebody, you know, gives you a cold shoulder, does something, the first thing you do is run to a friend and tell them what this person did. And you may even couch it in, I'm telling you so that you'd pray. You can try and whitewash this any way you want to, but you aren't doing what Jesus told you to do. If a person has really offended you, and if they are a brother in the Lord, then Jesus told you, Matthew chapter 18, go to that person alone. Don't you talk to anybody else about what's happened until you talk to the person who has done it. And if you say, well, I don't want to confront them, it's not that big of a deal, well, then forget it. If it's not that big of a deal, quit. If it's not worth you following the instructions of Scripture, then it's not worth you talking to anybody else about it. I could go on and on. Like I said, I could talk about this for a lot, but there's a lot here. If you want to overcome the criticism and the rejection of other people, you're going to have to do it by example, and you're going to have to control your word. That's the very first thing he says. Be an example of the believers in word. You're going to have to get to where you don't speak with bitterness and anger in your heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can tell what's in a person by the way they talk. And you know, if they just always have a chip on their shoulder, it's going to come out. You need to resolve this, and you need to get to where you control these words. I'm not talking about that you just say the right thing and in your heart you're harboring hatred and stuff, but you're just going to be a hypocrite and say what you know you should say. No, I'm saying you need to control what's on the inside, but you need to monitor your words because they are an indication to you about whether or not your heart is right in this area. And if somebody hurts you, if they criticize you, if something happens, and if you want to retaliate, and if you go to all of your friends and you start spreading this cancer, that's what it is. The Bible says that there, you know, this bitterness is like a cancer. And if you are bitter and hurt, you are spreading that hurt and pain among other people. If you're doing that, it ought to be an indication to you that something's not right in your heart, that you have let somebody else despise you. You aren't secure in the Lord. You're insecure. You are so hurt because you placed value on them that it's overriding what God has to say about you. And it ought to show you these things, and it ought to drive you to your knees to say, God, forgive me for placing so much value on their opinion. God, forgive me for being so hurt when you love me. And I ought to be accepted. I ought to be satisfied with the fact that you love me. And yet most people aren't. And they have to have the validation of all of these people. It should drive you to your knees and deal with that, and then get to where you speak life over it. Speak positive things. Bless. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Bless and curse not. And that's in the same context, Romans chapter 12, where he says, vengeance is mine. You bless them. Let God deal with them. Let God handle them. God can handle them better than you can. Amen. Boy, that's powerful. Again, there is so much that I could say about that. He goes on to say that you're supposed to be an example to the believers in word. In conversation is the next thing. You know, to us today, the word conversation is usually talking about the words that you speak to somebody, so it seems redundant or just a repeat of what he had already said. But in the Old English, in the King James here, the word conversation is talking about a manner of life, the way you conduct your life. So it's not just talking about words that you speak, but conversation here means the way you conduct your life. And you need to just go on and do what God told you to do. Live a godly life regardless of people's criticism. And as I gave testimony earlier when I was talking about this, God will defend you. And over the years, people will see your godliness and it will change their opinion. I've had many people who at one time condemned me and criticized me come back and say, you know what, I can see that God is with you and that you are blessed, and I think you were right and I was wrong. I've had a lot of people say that. And that really is the only way that you can ever convince any person. You can't argue a person into things. You know, when I first got started in ministry, I was so gung-ho that, man, I would argue at the drop of a hat, and I would drop my hat to get to argue. I mean, I just thought that I could force people, I could convince them. And I mean, I put a lot of effort, a lot of passion into it. I gave it everything I got. And I may have won a few arguments and made a person back down right then, but you know what? I have never argued anybody into anything. And over the years, as I've grown, I've just gotten to where I won't argue with people. I've had people come and want to argue with me. They are exactly like I was at one time. But I've just seen the futility of it. Now, if a person is accepting the truths that I'm saying and they say, I believe, but what about this scripture? Well, I'll explain things. I'll help a person believe, but that, to me, that's not arguing. But to take a person who is just antagonistic and they don't want to believe and I'm going to sit there and debate it with them, I won't do that. I just have given that up. I tell them I've got all kinds of materials. You can get it and you can find out what I know if you want it. But I won't argue with the person. You cannot argue a person into faith. It has to come by revelation. They have to seek it and they have to submit to it. Matter of fact, I heard Billy Graham was quoted as saying that one of the turning points in his ministry, I think it was during this Los Angeles crusade in California back, I think, around 1949 or 50 or anyway, right around there in the early part of the 50s. And he said one of the turning points in his ministry is when God told him he was not the Holy Spirit. That he didn't have to convince people. He didn't have to argue people into anything. But he said, you just proclaim the truth and let my Holy Spirit deal with people. And Billy Graham changed to where he no longer became a person that tried to force people. He would just proclaim and then let God deal with them. And he said that that's when his ministry took off. That's when things happened. I tell you, there are many of us that are limiting what God can do through us because we aren't being an example in our conversation, in our way of living. We are trying to argue people and we're trying to convince people instead of just living it in front of them. Now, there's a balance to this. There are some people who will never share and they'll never speak the truth and they'll never even give God credit. They just say, I'm letting my light shine. Well, you know what? If you are just living a moral life and doing the right thing, but if you never let people know that it's because God has changed your life, then that's not what I'm talking about. I believe that we need to give credit to God when credit is due. We need to let Him know. We need to let people know that it's God that has done these things. So there's a balance between this, but I am saying that there are people who are trying to say all of these things and make things happen when the Scripture here is saying, just be an example in the words that you speak and in the way that you live. Let your life say things. There's a song that I used to sing back in the Baptist church, and it says, what you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you say. They're not listening to your talk. They're looking at your walk. They're judging by your actions every day. Don't believe that you'll deceive by pretending what you've never known. They'll judge by what they see and know you to be. They'll judge by your life alone. Man, that's pretty powerful. And you know what? You need to, yes, proclaim the gospel, but the main thing is you need to walk it. Doesn't matter how high you jump when you hit the ground, make sure you're walking straight. Make sure that you are living a godly life. Make sure that you are living it in front of them. And the Scripture says if you'll do that, you'll win over some of these gainsayers, some of the critics. I don't believe that this is a promise that every person will agree with you because even Jesus didn't have that happen. But I guarantee you, you'll win over a lot of people if you won't get off the grandstand, off the track, into the grandstands, arguing with them, trying to justify yourself. Just keep doing what God told you to do and the anointing of God on your life and the success that it produces and the peace and the joy that it produces will be a testimony to people. They'll know that you are His disciples by your love. Man, that is good, good news. We're out of time today, but I still have more to share on this, so I encourage you to listen in. I'm going to continue this on my program tomorrow. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive this new teaching that I have on discipleship.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Discipleship Evangelism is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD series when you contact us. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the discipleship package. This package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the Discipling Through Galatians book, the Discipling Through Romans book, and the complete Discipleship Evangelism course. These tools have been designed so that anyone, anywhere, at any time can reach an unbeliever, disciple a new believer, or grow with others in the Lord. The entire package has a catalog value of $125. But Andrew considers these resources so important, he'd like to get them to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering this package to you for a gift of just $95 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD series when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Leading by Example, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 6th through the 8th and at Living Word Bible Church in Mesa, Arizona on Sunday, January 9th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance January 20th through the 22nd and in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
For 8 years, Richard Anthony Waller struggled with debilitating and life-threatening health issues.
I was regularly walking on crutches. I was taking a lot of painkillers, and I was in a pretty bad way. And Charlie prayed his prayer, and I walked away, and I still felt the pain, but I knew and I believed that I was healed.
Today, he's totally and completely healed.
I'm healed. That's it. I'm healed. Everything. I'm healed. Everything. Everything is healed.
Check out his story today. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net.